Okay, guys, so welcome back to another season, season 3 of Monuments, Museums, and Mojitos podcast.
Hey, guys, thank you for waiting so patiently for us to return and maintained your faith in us actually returning. But yeah, here we are. We are back.
Yeah, hi, guys. We haven't been cancelled. We also managed to deal with 2 hours of technical issues now before recording the first episode.
Whenever we start a season again, we always run into the age-old technical problems that take a minimum of 2 hours to sort out.
Okay, guys, what are we drinking today?
So today we are drinking a pink spritz, which is quite fluoro, like it's very pink, similar to Aperol spritz, but not with the orange, and thankfully not with the Aperol, because let's face it, other than looking cool on Insta, Aperol spritz is pretty grim.
It's actually disgusting. Why did they have a phase, you know? If you haven't noticed, this is our third season of the podcast, and we have never ever touched or tried to indulge in Aperol spritz.
No, we do not endorse that.
Is it bad to say that the Aperol spritz is a bit overrated?
It shouldn't even be rated.
Anyway, back to our pink spritz. That's actually much tastier.
It's Gordon's Pink, Mestica, of course, lemon tonic, cranberry, and of course, cucumber.
And we are bringing you a new episode today, which has been partly inspired by the news that there is going to be a third installment of our favorite movie of all time, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
I think most of us can agree that the first movie is an absolute cult following and nothing beats it. However, the second flopped a little, so the third could be either.
Yeah, it's kind of make or break, isn't it, for the franchise?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Anyway, we are obviously so excited for that movie, but the topic of this episode revolves around another movie, or should I say another set of movies, which are archaeological based. Archaeology brings the core to the story. Archaeology brings the excitement. Archaeology brings the action, the mystery, the horror, the whole shebang of the movie. And such franchises and genres have been in existence since the movie industry kind of began in the early 20th century. There's been obsessions with things like mummies, things like supernatural cults linked to other worlds. And also, more recently and more timely, more, how can I say, tasteful representations of archaeology movies with films such as The Dig, which came out last year, and more recently, this year, 2023, The Lost King.
Both of which I've really enjoyed, actually.
Yes. Yeah, although I think The Dig doesn't sound like a proper name for a movie.
Why not?
Sounds like a horror movie, I would say.
It's funny you mention that because, as we'll see in this episode, these last two movies we mentioned, The Dig and The Lost King, provide a much more realistic example of archaeological movies than their predecessors. In saying that, realistic, unfortunately, may mean more boring / less exciting.
Yeah, because there's not so much grave robbing, treasure hunting, swinging through temples on whips.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a bit more actual archaeological evidence and research and tarps, lots of tarps. So, gang, what are your favorite archaeology-based movies? Like, do you like the classics like Indiana Jones, or are you more of a Stargate kind of sci-fi type person, or something a bit more kind of, I don't know, like Titanic has elements of archaeology in it, and the underwater exploration? What do you feel like is your fave?
I don't know. First thing that came to my mind when we announced this topic was they're not very archaeological based movies, but like they're more like historical movies, like Ben-Hur and Spartacus. Yeah, these were the first one that came to my mind. And they're like great movies, actually.
I don't have any. I don't like any of them. I find them... Okay, to be fair, if you don't know this about me, I don't watch movies at all. So that's probably number one. But secondly, the ones that I have tried to engage with, I just find way too like adventure-based and supernatural that I just can't I can't sit through them. So my answer is none. I don't like any. I don't have a fave. I don't have a fave movie.
I think the Indiana Jones is actually also like a very, just for the sake of watching it from his, as a movie, I think it's quite interesting. And as a little kid, I really liked it. However, reflecting upon it, like obviously now, it's total, how can I say, it's quite controversial in some aspects.
I used to be a sucker for Indiana Jones as well, I have to say. But my favorite is probably, even though it's kind of awful, am I going to talk about how it's slightly awful? But I do love The Mummy. Like, I've always loved that movie. I wanted to be Evie. Like, I just thought she was so cool, even though she was a complete dork. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I think that's probably my favorite. But yeah, there are reasons now, looking back at it from a professional standpoint and also from a kind of post-colonial standpoint, that it's problematic in places.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And probably looking at these movies through our modern lenses, we can't help but see these aspects beside the actual film itself, which poses an interesting question. Are these movies still relevant and acceptable to the modern audience today?
Yeah, very interesting question. I guess probably not, but they also speak about the time that they were made in.
And, you know, as much as they may display many inaccuracies, the movie itself and entertainment in general has the widest reach to multiple sections of the public, meaning that these movies are a way in which everyday people actually get in contact with things like archaeology. And this is even the case if, like, they don't even have, like, an interest in archaeology necessarily. Suddenly they're presented with this and can, you know, pick up a few things at least.
And it might well kind of give them a wrong impression of what archaeologists actually do and the everyday life of an archaeologist. But I'm sure there are entire generations of archaeologists who got interested in doing this as a profession because they watched Indiana Jones, because they watched, you know, movies in their youth that were kind of inspired by, you know, Egyptology, mummies, all of that kind of stuff.
I mean, let's be honest, archaeology can sound to a 16-year or 15-year-old kid a bit dull, but then Indiana Jones, he seems so cool in the movies. They actually serve a great purpose, these movies, in the end. Like, because archaeology can seem like a bit boring, you know, or like dry discipline, but then to represent in such a cool way, it's actually very inspiring.
Yeah, exactly. And they are a way for people to have their first contact with the realm of archaeology.
Yeah, I'm sure it was my first introduction to it as a profession and made me think like, oh, wow, that would be so cool to go to temples and pyramids and, you know, all these far off places and see this stuff for myself, even though generally in the movie they end up destroying the temple or flooding it or it falls down because they set off multiple booby traps and then had to you know, scramble under closing doors and like falling boulders, like outrun the boulders, all of that stuff, which I can assure you doesn't generally happen in like an actual archaeological site.
Let that bring us to talk about some of the things that archaeology in movies is associated with. So, for example, a big thing and something that we just touched on briefly now is that archaeology is associated with adventure. So from the media, people often believe that archaeologists work in exotic places far away from home and they have to make their way through inaccessible terrain and just consistently face threats and events that are like far from a normal working day until, of course, they reach some like final treasure. Obviously, Indiana Jones is like a big portrayal of that. And he and the film itself has influenced the image of archaeology in a very strong way and provides inspiration and a source of contact for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones, although he works in an archaeology department for a prestigious university, apparently, according to, I think it's the third movie that we see him in the classroom in The Last Crusade. Maybe we've seen before that. Anyway, he is basically a treasure hunter. Like, he's not actually an archaeologist in these movies. He just goes into places, takes the item, takes it out of its context, does no kind of further study of it in its environment. He just takes a treasure item that he knows is high value and leaves with it. And okay, he might say, oh, it belongs in a museum, but oftentimes he will literally destroy the environment, the temple or whatever, in his escape.
Yeah.
And he doesn't show like the utmost respect for the objects. You know, in films he's seen throwing it from one person to another, like when he takes the kind of gold objects that he's trying to escape with and he throws it to the other guy who's like his friend who then betrays him. It's not like he's really taking care of this object and, you know, wrapped it up and wants to keep it safe in safe containment. He's literally like throwing about all over the place.
Yeah. And other characters in movies also follow this. It's very, very common. Lara Croft does the same thing, just throwing important objects around or even just, you know, destroying so much to get the one item she's looking for. So much is destroyed along the way for the sake of one object, which kind of links a little bit to how archaeology in movies is also portrayed as having something to do with like the magic world. There's some mystery and mystery and magic surrounded by the central themes of the movies. So this also portrays like another false aspect of archaeology. Obviously, archaeology does not deal with magic in the real world, but the movies do portray that there is some sort of paganist quest or death cult that the archaeologists get in contact with, something like lost worlds that hold ominous and even threatening outcomes. So archaeology does become associated a little bit with the disturbance of subterranean forces or forces that just shouldn't be disturbed at all, and they're like messing with the dead, messing with spirits, and that the archaeologist is actually the decisive initiator of this action, so shaking up the worlds of spirituality and the living.
Yeah,
there's always, well, not always, but often that supernatural element that is just like, oh, it's the archaeologist against the world. They're the only one who, you know, believes this, or the only one who has discovered this to be real. And it's like, well, real archaeologists might go from mythology and texts and, you know, do their research of the time to try and verify like what the truth is behind those myths or those stories. But it's very rare that an archaeologist is going to put themselves out and say, oh yeah, this goddess of death is actually real and living under this mountain. AKA the new Lara Croft movies. Like
and it's in this way also a little bit linked to horror, which, again, is nothing like what actually happens in archaeology.
And that's an interesting topic because actually archaeology is very fact-based science, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, but the movies give this perception of archaeology and actually history as a educational program gives this image of, how can I say, of interpreting facts in a weird way, let's say, or in or believing in some myths. Yeah, that's probably actually impacts the average person's view on history, you know, and probably many people think that history is a very, like, it's very easy to interpret and to believe in myths, but actually history is a very fact-based science.
Yeah, definitely. I think especially when there are new, quote, documentaries coming out about searching for the lost city of Atlantis and all of that kind of stuff, like they're steeped in myth, in like, you know, oh, it could be said, or this ancient myth says this thing, and like people think that that is genuine archaeology. They think that that is, you know, because it's a documentary as well, it gives them that impression that it's telling the truth or telling, it's going from fact, when actually it's not very reliable generally.
This line of thinking, and I guess a negative outcome of such perceptions, actually probably puts a bit of a detrimental connotation with archaeology as being like an actual scientific discipline. And, you know, things like archaeology, things like the arts, things like the humanities are just being consistently more defunded as, you know, time goes on in this stage of our lives, that maybe such perceptions that perpetuate and actually dominate the perception of archaeology are harmful.
But don't you think that the last few movies related to archaeology in the last years, like The Lost King, are kind of transitioning from that narrative and actually presenting archaeology in a more scientific, let's say, authentic way?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's been a real shift, and I think that's probably for the better. And it is nice to see as well that that is being picked up by audiences and that they're being popular. You know, these films are actually popular. Like The Dig on Netflix was actually a huge hit, even though, like, by a lot of people's standards for a film based around archaeology, it's not a rip-roaring adventure movie. It's quite practical. They're literally digging trenches and, you know, digging out an archaeological site. They're down on their hands and knees in the rubble. Like, large portions of the movie are on the very practical everyday tasks associated with archaeology, and it's nice to see the audiences aren't put off by that.
Hopefully the audience has matured a little bit in their understanding of what the more famous 20th century movies and early 21st century movies portray are problematic in some sense, especially as we start to look at ethics, especially as we start to look at things like cultural appropriation, things like colonialism and trying to become more post-colonial in our way of thinking towards history and archaeology. We can actually feel a bit of a relief, I think, by maybe the era of movies like The Mummy, like Indiana Jones, like Lara Croft, just ceasing to exist.
I think that the shift is definitely a positive one, and it is refreshing to see that these recent movies are kind of, they're based in the country that the people are from. So both of these are British movies based in England. They're not, you know, raiding some pyramid or a tomb in Egypt. They're not going to a temple in India or wherever. They are, you know, they're in their country of origin. There isn't that problematic element of all of the natives being killed off, which happens very much, even in my beloved The Mummy. Like, it's all of the kind of native Egyptian diggers and, you know, people who are helping, who are the ones who are first attacked by the mummy and plagues, and they're all killed off, like, without a second thought. It's the American and British white protagonists who are the ones who make it through the movie. And even as, like, characters start dying, it is there's definitely a sense that there's plot armor and that there's going to be safety involved for the colonial characters.
Such themes have been absolutely central to the iconic movies of the 20th century surrounding archaeology. And if you actually look back, since the 1920s, not a decade has passed without at least one film dealing with the horror possibilities of Egyptian archaeology. And of course, this usually takes form in the sense of The Mummy and The Mummy story. And of course, the title of the movies exists from such a concept merely by being called The Mummy. So we have The Mummy in 1932 through to The Mummy in 1999 and the sequel, The Mummy Returns, which was 2001. And don't get me wrong, in these movies, sometimes archaeologists do get to share their genuine archaeological feelings within them. There are a couple of examples of such cases. For example, in the 1932 film, The Mummy, there is an archaeologist, the lead archaeologist in the movie states something like, "Much more is learnt from studying the mere pieces of pottery than for searching for some sensational finds like resurrected mummy," or whatever you want to call it. But the more we get into it, and especially into the 21st century, these mummy movies just retain this depiction of archaeology as a colonial imposition by which cultural inheritance is appropriated. And as we've spoken about in previous episodes, the 19th and the early 20th centuries are just full of Western archaeologists more than willing to emphasize and insert themselves in treasure finding and imposing explorations of other cultures and countries for them, you know, their sense of discovery and excitement. So, for example, in The Mummy Returns, one of the henchmen of the characters Imhotep is the curator of Egyptian antiquities at the British Museum. Both of these curators are depicted as Egyptians engaged in secret activities, confirming this subservience to the Western colonial myth about Egypt and suggesting that only Europeans/Americans can truly understand the Egyptian past through the appropriation and redefinition of archaeology. Mummy fan, what do you say?
No, I completely agree. And we do see this trope again and again of like the assistant or the kind of side character who is at one point maybe helping the main colonial white protagonist, then being seen to be untrustworthy, shady, and they're often native or non-white or... they're not from that same background. They are either, you know, Egyptian or, a native person who is helping the main white protagonist. And then, yeah, they show themselves to not be trustworthy, to be shady, to have other motives. And I think definitely in this day and age, that is really a problematic standpoint. Like, we really should be looking at alternative storytelling techniques and kind of really appreciate native culture and like storytelling, and you know, not see everyone who isn't a white colonialist protagonist as being part of the villain story.
Yes. In actual archaeological practice, it is deemed extremely unethical to completely disregard Indigenous rights, and especially so, and what is central to all these movies, the illicit acquisition of finds, which in the movies go on their own ways in whatever context they might be. But in reality, these objects that are illegally acquired through illegal excavations, looting, treasure hunters, or whatever, they make their way into a thriving antiquity market, and they are even found in auction houses. And basically, this money that is made from the illegal finds does not obviously go back into archaeology, back into culture, back into the arts, back into the humanities, back into the governments that are looking after them, but are mostly put in the hands of private investors or collectors, or even worse, like problematic groups. So a big, big, big problem with this concept and archaeology, and I was guilty, and I'm sure a lot of people are with this thought themselves, is that you yourself, having watched the movie, feels like you can go out and just find archaeology. If you start digging, if you start looking, if you start researching a little bit, you can do it. And in some cases, maybe you might. And in some cases, it's more extreme. There are people who operate on the black market and do this. So one problem with this sensationalization of looting and stealing and the reality of it leading to black markets is that the incredibly rich area in places like Syria, Iraq, actually have a massive problem with like illicit trafficking of archaeological finds. And it has been found out that actually terrorist groups like ISIS engage heavily with the illicit trade of antiquities and selling them, and, you know, fund their terrorist missions. So, for example, many artifacts looted by ISIS and other groups are sold to middlemen, small-time dealers in Lebanon, Turkey, who therefore put it on the global market, the global art market, in, you know, cities with massive tourism, with, you know, to obviously untrained tourists. Yeah, sure, buying little artifacts, genuine artifacts, is exciting and thrilling and whatever, but it contributes to a massive problem.
That's a great point, Nikki. And I think kind of one of the nice things about the newer movies that we've mentioned, especially The Lost King, it really shows the practicalities of archaeological digs in this day and age, when people do kind of have that that thought in their minds of like, oh, well, if there's all this cool stuff out there, why don't we just go and dig for it? Why do we have to, you know, wait for archaeologists to uncover these amazing artifacts in these amazing places? It's because basically you do need, in most, you know, especially in Western societies, but in most places, you do need permission. You do need, you know, either from the local authorities or, you know, councils or from the property owner, you need their permission to be able to dig there. You need licenses, you need funding, like a lot of money and time and effort and people to be able to excavate and, you know, handle the findings and clean them and do everything else that's required, even if you have, say, student volunteers. Like, you need to organize all of that stuff. It's not cheap, it's not easy, and it's very time and labor intensive. And I think it was really nice in The Lost King, especially, where they did kind of show that practicality of, even after raising funds and even after she, the main protagonist who was looking for the, she was looking for Richard III, because his body had never been found. So for a bit of context, she was an amateur historian who was just came across the story of Richard III, who is a Yorkist king in England, and she was looking to find where he'd been buried because he never had an official tomb or grave. And so she did all this research. She found the site where she thought that he was, and then she had to convince people. She had to convince archaeologists, the universities that they worked for. She had to find funding. She had to apply to the council to be able to set up an archaeological dig there. There were so many hoops that she had to go through. And even then, you know, when they finally got to the point where they could start digging, they literally had two trenches that they were able to dig in this car park. And that was it. You know, if they didn't find what they were looking for in those two trenches, kind of tough luck. And I think that was kind of a really refreshing view for me, to show the general public how archaeology can't just magically find things with no funding, with no permissions, with no, you know, context. You really have to do your research, and it is a long-term worthwhile endeavor, and that's why archaeologists are both scientists and really important to our society.
Yeah, very nicely said.
Yeah, absolutely.
So on that note, I think The Lost King is actually out in most places at the time of this recording, either in cinemas or you can rent it online. We really recommend you watching that, because especially if you've been like particularly attached to the older movies, this is a really refreshing and yet still interesting and very exciting representation of modern day archaeology.
Yeah, and it's actually a nice movie.
Yeah.
So this is a wrap, guys. That was us acting as movie critics, destroying the reputation of very popular Hollywood productions. I hope you enjoyed it. I think Nikki and Nizam particularly enjoyed this topic.
Well, I think I did. Nikki,
I just like thrashing it.
Yeah, she doesn't like movies because she is a Grinch.
Why watch when you can do?
Yeah, that's a good mantra, to be fair. Well done. Thank you for joining us, guys. If you want to share your favorite movies based on archaeology or your thoughts on this, feel free to get in touch with us on social media. We are at Museums Mojitos on Instagram and Twitter, and you can find us with the podcast's full name on Facebook.
And of course, please get in touch with any comments or suggestions you had about this topic or about the podcast in general. We are open to hearing your episode ideas as well. If there's an episode you think you would like us to do, let us know again on those platforms.
5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, yes. Please, guys.
Yes.
And your feedback and comments are always welcome on those as well.
Yes, we need your support.
Yeah, spread the word. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.